Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening as I continue my series of interviews with different professionals from around the nation. Each broadcast is sponsored by the website www.landthink.com, a great resource that serves all your land needs. I encourage you to return to each broadcast so that you continue to grow your knowledge about land. This broadcast is the only place on the internet where you'll experience the very best insights about the breadth and depth of vacant land. Hi, I'm Russell Ward, your host. I'm a full-time land investor and author of Vacant Land Guide, How to Buy Vacant Land at Wholesale Prices. My turnkey program teaches you the secrets of owning your own land business where you don't have to use your own money, and my very process is very, very easy to learn. Now, if you have any questions or comments during this broadcast, you can use the live chat feature on your computer screen. So please, if you do have a question, we would invite you to type that in, and then I will ask that to Lou. Now, today, I've invited Lou Jewell to be a part of today's broadcast. Lou lives in North Carolina and is an instructor for the Realtors Land Institute. So let me tell you a little bit about Lou. In fact, before that, Lou, thank you for coming on today.
Oh, Russell, what a great pleasure this is. I look forward to your job.
Okay. So let me give a couple of comments about Lou so that you can get better acquainted with him. Lou has sold over 500 lands and farms over the past 16 years. And he has had as many as 218 land listings at one time, so that keeps him busy. Now, currently, he has 99 listings in North Carolina and Virginia. And he's known locally in his area as the Dirt Road Developer, as he has helped develop 35 rural subdivisions in his surrounding area. And also, he is a member of the Realtors Land Institute, which we'll talk about today, since 1998. And he has acquired the coveted accredited land consultant designation and is also a member of the North Carolina chapter of the RLI. So, Lou, I always try to, when I interview someone, I always ask them the first question is, why did you choose land to get into as an occupation?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. My father was in real estate in Charlotte where I grew up. And my mother's family acquired over 900 acres, actually in the county that I live in now, starting in the 1900s. And they would deposit me at the farm when I was, I guess, 5-6 years old. For the summer, we had a dairy farm. We did tobacco, wheat, you know, full farm venue. And just kind of got in my blood. As I got older and returned back to North Carolina after 12 years in New York City, I moved to this area about 23 years ago. And, you know, I got involved with a real estate firm, and, of course, being in a rural area, land and farms is pretty much our staple. And mm-hmm. just kind of got in your blood, and it just you won't find anybody who loves land more than I do, Russell. By the way, before we go any further, I definitely want to thank Roy Fault with Land Think and Land Flip. What a tremendous guy he is. I just love people that love land. And Ryan has done just an incredible job and will continue to.
Absolutely. Well, I affirm that as well because I've partnered with Ryan for him to be a sponsor for this broadcast, and we do appreciate all the efforts that he has put into his website to help educate and help educate people about land, but also help us to network about land at the same time. So I would certainly agree. Now, one of the things, Lou, that you are a part of is part of, since, you know, your passion is land. I mean, you live and eat and breathe land. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about a group of realtors that have gathered together called the Realtors Land Institute. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about what that's all about?
No problem. I'm happy to speak to it. The Realtors Land Institute was started in 1944, and we're part of the National Association of Realtors. As you know, there are many organizations involved with the National Association of Realtors, like CCIM, that would be your commercial realtors, and you've got your buyer agents, and you've got your women in real estate, and there are all these organizations, little satellites that revolve around the real estate industry, and we're the land folks. And, you know, just to let people know, it's interesting that when we go to real estate school over the years and even currently, that nothing is really taught about land. And land has so many, it's a unique real estate specialty. You know, as a result, the real estate professionals who conduct transactions need to have that specialized knowledge. Our NAR code of ethics even requires it, and the marketplace requires it. And, you know, I encourage anyone, whether they're involved with a realtor or with someone like you, Russell, and thank you for the work that you do. I mean, it's a real pleasure to get to speak with you, and you do a tremendous job for land and land promotion. But our code of ethics basically says that a realtor should not be involved in a transaction that they do not have expertise or knowledge therein, unless they get a consult with someone who does, another realtor. And this is where education is very important. There's really four reasons why I got involved in land. One is education and RLI. The other, it gives you confidence. You know, we have to have confidence in what we're doing. And every vocation is a foreign language in its own way, and you have to understand and learn these aspects of it. And, of course, networking, RLI, you know, we have tremendous networking. Of the 99 listings right now, Russell, I believe 7 or 8 of them are RLI, fellow RLI members from around the country that have sent me referrals, either buyers or sellers.
So, very nice.
And obviously the fourth reason is you make money. And I've always found the more education you have, the more money you make. And the more and I get involved with RLI, the more money I make. So that's kind of the premise. Currently we have about 1,400 members, and I think about this. There's 1.1 million realtors, licensed realtors in the United States right now, and we only have 1,400 active members of that 1.1 million that are involved in land, you know, in RLI and land brokerage. Now, there's a lot that aren't. So there's a lot of work to be done to educate our realtor industry, you know, the opportunities that RLI has.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We have 10 courses. These are two-day courses. And myself, along with Dell Fulp, who's an accredited land consultant like myself, have been teaching our Land 101 class since it was launched in 2003 in Washington, D.C. And there are roughly 50 instructors that are certified to teach our 10 courses. And we teach a base course. It's called Land 101. It's really the fundamentals of land brokerage. And it kind of touches all aspects of land, and including snippets of the other 9 courses that are fully two-day courses. We have a wonderful class called Agricultural Land Brokerage and Marketing. You know, this is great because the agricultural world, that's so different, too, with cap rates, soil types. You know, it's very involved. Land development, I just audited a class in Jackson, Mississippi 2 weeks ago from Ned Massey, who authored it years ago. I'd taken the class back in 1998. Dell and I had taken that actually together. And we're hoping to be qualified to teach that course to add it to our Land 101. We have another class called Site Selection.
Before you go into all the different aspects of all the different classes, because I do want to talk about that, let's go back to Land 101 for a moment, though.
Sure.
Because that's what you're teaching, and that is kind of the introductory class. Now, give someone perspective. Is this like an 8-hour class, or is this a 2-hour class? Or how long does that class go?
Russell, all of our classes are 2 days. They're 16 hours. They're accredited, Land University written, PowerPoint presented, tested. Each class you have to pass a 50 multiple choice class to get credit for it. A lot of these states will allow these courses to give CE credit. In the real estate industry, we have to have so many hours of continuing education as professionals.
So if someone's to show up to a Land 101 class, and you're 16 hours, and then they have to take a test to show that they've absorbed the information. Now, how do you pick what areas of the country? For instance, you're going to be in Greensboro, North Carolina on October 28th and 29th, and then you're going to be in San Diego November 10th and 11th. So how do you pick what areas of the country to teach the Land 101 course?
Russell, we're actually hired guns. There are 20 course providers around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We have chapters not in all states, like we have one here in North Carolina, with roughly 250 members currently. And this is the way that these chapters raise money for their chapter, is by providing the courses. So as the board of directors in our case meet, you know, we may say, well, like last year we did four classes. The year before we did six classes. And then we look at the cadre of instructors and negotiate with them in terms of availability and terms. So we're hired guns. We don't get to choose where we teach. We get to
wait
for the phone to ring.
The National Association of Realtors chooses the cities to teach in. Is that what you're saying?
No. The Realtors Land Institute.
The Realtors Land Institute.
Right. They own these properties. These are royalty properties. And if you wanted to be, say, like, and you could be, Russell. I mean, your organization. You say, I want to be a sponsor course provider for RLI classes. You know, you would file the affidavits with RLI, meet the criteria, and then be approved. And then you could actually provide these classes yourself.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Now, give us perspective. How many folks typically show up to a Land 101 class?
They vary, you know, over the years. They vary. Usually a typical class is between 20 and 25.
Okay.
And quite frankly, you don't have to be a realtor or a real estate agent to attend any of our classes. Now, you won't get certification, and you can't work towards the ALC designations,
mm-hmm.
which requires
mm-hmm.
six of these
mm-hmm.
classes
mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. five, actually mm-hmm. $10 million in sales. But, you know, I've had bank trust departments attend. I've had foresters attend. A lot of foresters over the years have attended. And other people that are interested in land. Investors. Developers have taken our class.
Gotcha. And so this class is the jumping off, because a lot of the people who will be listening today are aspiring land realtors or land professionals, and that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So let's jump into, because you were starting to go into some of the other classes that are also available, but you described the accredited land consultant designation as coveted, and so that is an important designation. So why would you describe that that certification, so to speak, as coveted in your segment of real estate?
Well, it's expensive to get. Like I said, these classes usually run, and I don't like to, you know, there's a range of prices, but let's say around $300 is what is typically a course fee. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's six classes that you have to have. Three of them are required. Land 101 is one. Land investment analysis is another. And one of our tax classes, we have an excellent 1031 tax deferred exchange class. And we have a new class called Tax Implications of Real Estate. And that one, tax deferred and Land 101, are actually online. You can actually register through RLI and take these classes online without the benefit of a live instructor. Now, I don't advocate that, because the meeting and the networking and the chemistry that goes on the class is really one of the major benefits of attending these functions.
Very nice, very nice. Well, it's important. Lou and I have been discussing before this interview, and in fact, I've just written an article in my Vacant Land Guide newsletter, the importance of working with a land realtor. And I start out my article talking about how I got a call from one of my associates about a certain land transaction, and the first thing the landowner wanted to do was to call a quote-unquote realtor to find value for that property. And I got very squeamish and skittish, because what happens is nine times out of ten, they'll call a realtor at any office anywhere, and that person really doesn't have the background and expertise to properly value that piece of property. So, Lou, how is the RLI trying to get more visibility to help the general public see that they need to, if they have a parcel of land, that they really need to contact someone who either has a certification or at least has done some coursework and has some exposure to land?
Sure. that's really up to the, I mean, RLI does a tremendous job promoting, you know, with sponsors like Ryan Falk, you know, we get our logo on there and other sponsors that we have. But it's really up to the realtor, the broker in charge, the, you know, the owner of the company. If they're going to promote themselves as a land brokerage, then they should have the land experts. They should send their brokers or encourage their brokers to get involved. You know, if you call me up and you said, Lou, I've got a 20-story building I want you to list. Russell, I wouldn't know where to start. I'm not trained to do commercial real estate.
Right.
Or property management. I'm advocating right now a land disclosure form. You know, when we go list a home in North Carolina, Russell, you know, we have a required form when we sit down with the owners, you know, about the condition of the home. You know, is it straight piping? Is there, you know, what's the soil stability? So on. There's 28 issues that are involved with listing a home. Right now, there are four states, and actually I just found out when I was in Mississippi, they have a, in their commercial forms, they have a land disclosure form. So let's say five right now that I've identified, California, Arizona, Tennessee, Georgia, and we'll add Mississippi to it, that have land disclosure forms. Now, I finally got on our commercial forms committee first part of the year and brought this to the forms committee's attention, and we're actually working on a land disclosure for the state of North Carolina. But taking all those other disclosures and boiling them down, Russell, would you believe there's over 93 potential land issues? That, you know, that if you're not familiar with these terms and concepts, I mean, I had my surveyor sued a couple years ago because he surveyed out 350 acres in large tracts, 40-50-acre tracts, and this couple bought a 50-acre tract, and a year later they were out walking and they found a cemetery on the property, a nondescript cemetery, and they just went crazy and sued everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you think that's not important, but it is.
So for someone who is new to land when it comes to a form of real estate, what are some of this form that you're saying? Are you saying it's kind of like a checklist then of different areas to look for when they're looking in that piece of land maybe to make that purchase?
Sure. It's part of the due diligence process, and everybody has different ways of approaching it. I think if more states got involved with a actual land information sheet, which is what ours would be for the first 2 years, because disclosure denotes a legal form, you know, that has to be signed off by our state legislation. But we're going to test the water out there for a couple years and get the language, you know, appropriate. But for those that don't have the benefit of it, that's the beauty of working with a realtor that has land experience, and specifically an RLI member, and more specifically, an accredited land consultant.
Excellent. Well, up to this point now, we've talked about the Realtors Land Institute, and we've kind of we've highlighted at the moment how important it is if you're going to be buying and selling a parcel of land, how important it is to have a land realtor to be a part of that process. And I highly, highly recommend if you're going to pursue a piece of land that as you develop a network of professionals to help you to evaluate that property, that the first person you want to talk to is the person that has their expertise in land. In fact, I go to the RLI website. It's rliland.com. And if I'm looking for a piece of land, looking at a piece of land in Nashville, I will actually, there's a tab there that you can find a land consultant. I type in Nashville, Tennessee, and then I just got off the phone a few days ago with Jay Barron, who lives in Nashville, and he services Middle Tennessee, and he also has that certification, the accredited land consultant, and I saw that designation. I knew that he had done the coursework to help me make a proper evaluation about a piece of land in Middle Tennessee. I'm in Florida, so I have to utilize land realtors all the time, and they have been made a world of difference in my buying decisions. So that's why I'm having Lou here to kind of help us to see how important it is to have a land realtor on board. So if you're someone that's listening today or be listening when this is archived, please, please find the land realtor, and rliland.com is the place to find those that are certified and those that have expertise in land. So, land, Lou, I'm going to change directions just a little bit more,
okay,
because you travel the country, and so you talked a lot to different land professionals. And, you know, I think what people want to hear now, if they're going to go and buy a piece of land, what types of land are investors buying in this economy? We're hearing, you know, the downturn, and, you know, the housing market has gone down the tank. Tell us a little bit about what you're hearing around the country about land, and is it in demand at the moment?
Land's always in demand. You know, land's kind of interesting because guess where everything comes from? From land. You know, over one-third of our planet is either is in agriculture or pastured land of the Earth's surface. Land's very important. But what drives land is population, and population continues to grow. I mean, you know, that's just part of it. And the more the population grows, then there's more demand for land. One of my favorite quotes, and it's real hard to find these, is W.C. Fields, who says, if you know the direction people are going, get there before they do and buy land. And there's different motivations for land. You know, there's different types of land. You got timberland, you got agricultural land, you got recreational land, you got rural land, you got urban land, you got development land, you got commercial land, and then you can break it on down into wetlands and, you know, features of the land. It's a simple little four-letter word, but it has a universe. In fact, I've tried to identify all those little words that touch the four-letter word land, and I've come up with over 700 words that are applicable,
okay,
to relates to land.
Okay.
As an investor, you know, you've got different motivations. I used to, in one of my past lives, Russell, sold numismatic coins with certified U.S. coins during the 80s. You know, gold's over $1,000 an ounce right now. Well, back then, you know, it was around $800. And, I did this through the financial planning industry as a wholesaler. And we advocated that you diversify your portfolio, investment portfolio, with at least 10% of hard assets, whether it be physical gold, gold stocks, and so on. And I kind of feel the same way. I feel that land is the most stable and the best long-term investment there is, whether you own a couple acres or whether you own a Ponderosa. You know, Ted Turner's our largest private landowner in the United States, owning over 2 million acres. I mean, does he know something that we don't know?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what's selling right now, what's moving in the market, it takes money to buy land. Thank goodness for farm credit, and they've been around since the early 1900s. And, you know, that's where those 500 sales, the majority of those were financed through farm credit, which is a generic name for independent offices throughout the United States. And our area, Carolina Farm Credit, covers 54 counties in the mid part of North Carolina, western part of North Carolina. But, they do financing. Your listeners need to know anything, especially non-realtors, anything over 5 acres in the United States is considered non-conforming land. And your banks, whoever's left out there, and they're not that many, they're not interested in loaning money for dirt. They want to loan money for brick and mortar.
Well, let's go back to what you mean by non-conforming land. What does that mean, though?
The industry states anything over 5 acres is considered non-conforming. It has nothing to do with the types of land or anything else. It's just the acreage, minimum acreage requirement.
And does that mean that they won't finance anything under 5 acres? Is that what you're saying?
No. They don't like financing anything over 5 acres. Now, they will, but they'll penalize you. You know, you want to go get a conventional loan. You want to buy a little small farm. And say it's 4.5 acres, well, you might get a 97% loan, okay? You might even get a 100% loan if those are still around. But if it's over 5 acres, the banks probably want 20% down, usually, or more.
Okay. All right, well, let's go back to the original question. The original question is what types of land are investors buying? Are they buying farmland? Are they buying timberland? Are they buying, 10-acre plots, 10-acre tracts? Is there a trend right now? I mean, are people subdividing, you know, doing a lot of subdivisions. What, you know, so what are people looking at buying, and what are they actually buying in this economy?
Well, as you know, all real estate markets are local. And, you know, for example, in my area, my bread and butter is the 10 to 20 acre tracts because it's affordable and it's not a whole lot. So, you know, I think that around the country, you know, that activity is still going on. The areas that are being hurt right now, resort areas, gated communities, subdivisions, you know, they're auctioning these things off for cents on the dollar if you can even find buyers.
Sure.
Anything over 500 acres, I just did a study and with using a website that actually captures sales, and that's another problem we have in our industry. Nobody captures land sales, with a few exceptions like the agricultural. The U.S. Agricultural, they do farms, agricultural land, and a lot of your state institutions monitor that. But just for rural land, it's very hard to get statistics. But just for example, I took 500 acres or more sales since January 1 of this year. And for example, Texas had 58 sales, and they were the highest. And behind them was Kansas with 12. South Dakota with 6, Missouri with 6, you know, Colorado had 8, Nebraska 5, Nevada 5, Montana 4,
sure.
Wyoming 5, Oklahoma 10.
Right. But there's just not a lot of activity for the larger tracts at the moment.
Well, because there's no money out there. You know, our money
sure.
just kind of got all sucked up with the last year.
Well, I understand. Well, I mean, so, you know, again, we'll bring it back to the original question, which you've answered, is that What is people looking at? They're looking at the 10 to 20 acre tracts. And why I want to just highlight that thought for a moment is because around the country, those of you who are looking to buy, that's where one of the trends is to buy the 10 to 20, maybe the 10 to 50 acre tract. There's activity in that area. I think it's become obvious that there's not many people buying land to do any subdivisions at the moment, rural subdivisions like in resort areas, because you've just kind of highlighted that as well. So, but what I've learned in, and Lou, has this been your experience, that more and more sellers are willing to do like a seller financing or owner financing so that the banks don't have to be involved?
Seeing more of that, especially if they own them outright, you know, like family land, like I mentioned, our family has 900 acres. Of course,
mm-hmm.
none of it's been sold outside of that. But if one was to choose that since it's owned outright, sure, that would be attractive. And yes, we are seeing more of that. And that has some advantages for the buyer, too.
Well, I think so, yeah, because, again, you can work out a deal between the buyer and seller, and then you don't – because maybe someone, a buyer might come to the table and the bank is not willing to finance, but if the owner is, you know, that can be very attractive. But don't you think most landowners in the United States own their land free and clear?
That's kind of the feeling I have, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing more and more. In fact, there's a poll on landthink.com that talked about how do you plan to finance your parcel of land, and 32% said that they're going to seek owner financing in their transaction, and then about 25% said that they have cash ready to buy
right.
as well. And there, the other poll that landthink.com also did is how much money were you going to spend on a typical land deal, and it was around $100,000.
That's very typical.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if about 65% are either looking for owner financing or they have cash available, so that I think that the market will continue to do well, because I think also don't you think that with the stock market kind of going in a negative direction, that investors are going to look for some alternatives outside the traditional stock market portfolio and look to land to buy?
Russell, it's interesting talking to several of my buddies out in the Midwest, the Corn Belt, the Agricultural Belt. They've got buyers like crazy right now that are wanting to invest in agricultural land. And the problem is their sellers won't sell it. And I says, why not? They said, well, where the heck are you going to put your money? Think about it.
Right. Right. Well, what I've been finding is that, you know, the average age of a farmer is around 58 or so,
That's
you know,
correct.
In that ballpark. And so since... But They're also looking for monthly income when they get near retirement. And I think what we're going to find is a lot of these agricultural pieces that you've alluded to, that they'd be willing to do seller financing
yes.
so that they could see a monthly income come in.
There's some opportunity
to complement,
there.
You know, to complement their retirement income because, you know, you and I have met a farmer at age 58, and they probably had knee replacement surgery and shoulder replacement surgery, and, you know, their bodies are beat up. And so, you know, they're looking to sit on the couch and enjoy the rest of their,
and
you know,
their
the
children's
latter
not
stages
in, and
of
their
life.
Children's not interested in working. Like, you know, the passed down tradition is not there anymore.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, let's face it, Lou, living on the farm can be a lonely life. Because
it's
usually your neighbor lives, you know, 640 acres away.
That's right.
One square mile away, you know. And so I found that a lot of the kids of farmers, they wanted to get away from that life because it was a lonely lifestyle. And so that they moved to the suburbs. And so when mom and dad are retired, a lot of these kids just have virtually no interest in continuing on the family farm. And I think that's where a lot of the large corporate players are, the institutional players are coming in and buying some of these pieces of farmland because the family doesn't want to be a part of that. Is that what you're seeing?
No, totally. And yes, institutional buyers have played a tremendous part, and they still are. They still are. It's still a good one of those hard assets and diversification. A good portfolio manager is going to have some type of land holding, whether it's ag land or forestry land in their portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've got to wind down our time together. So what are your predictions for land sales in the next 6 months? Is it going to continue to be the 10 to 20 acre tracts, or do you see a trend where some other types of land will be more in vogue? What's your predictions?
I think we're going to continue the current trend. At least that's what I'm hearing from around the country. You know, at least in the short term and even over the next year. Now, you know, if you want me to go out, one of your questions was go out 5 years, I'm going to give you a Chinese proverb, man who looks at crystal ball eats glass. I have no idea where we're going to be 5 years from now. But land's always going to be a good investment, Russell. And your listeners should take note of that. And you know, the more we promote, and that's one of the problems out there, is there's not enough of us talking about land. And thank God for you and your show and Ryan and other folks like that, and RLI, you know, out there promoting land. More people need to know about it, know about the opportunities.
Absolutely. Well, I think eventually there we'll see the major media talking about land down the road. I that's just a prediction that I have. And I think once the major media starts to highlight, because, you know, investors, I just read a Business Week article where a lot of the economists now in the past would recommend about 80% of your portfolio hinged to the stock market, and now they're dropping that to about 60% of your portfolio should be hinged
That's
to the
scary,
market.
That's scary, isn't it? Letting somebody
you know,
in Wall Street
so,
manage your money.
Yeah, and so that means now you have – they're recommending that your 40% of your portfolio not be hinged to the stock market. Well, what options do you have?
Well, one of the options you do is you move your IRA money or your pension money into a self-directed program, and therefore you can use that self-directed money with an advisor and invest in land, farms, or other types of real estate. That's
absolutely.
One of the things I have.
Absolutely, absolutely, and so I think that we're going. So you know, it was really interesting reading the Business Week article that they didn't comment where to put that other 40%. They just commented that's what the experts, so-called experts, are saying.
Yes,
but I think what we're going to see is if you're going to take 40% of your portfolio, so there's a lot of folks that want to take $100,000 out of the stock market, and they want to be more in control of their financial destiny, as opposed to rolling the dice whether the stock market is going to go back up to so that they can have, you know, the retirement they're looking for. I mean, I just learned from my financial planner that if I'm going to be retiring in the next, say, like 12 to 15 years, I'll need $2 million already available to me so that I could be able to comfortably retire. And so can people take, you know, can you want to risk putting all your money in the stock market, hoping that, that you're going to grow your money that way, or, like you're talking about with the self-directed IRA, buying parcels of land and see your money increase in value there, and you're more in control of your financial destiny. So I would agree. I think that that's one of the predictions you and I can certainly agree on.
Okay, good.
So, Lou, is there any other comments that you would like to make before we close our time together?
No, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity, and maybe hopefully get the chance to do it again sometime. And I encourage your listeners to actually look at our website, www.rli.land, and come to our classes. You're more than welcome. They can contact you or myself. We'll get them registered up. The October class in Greensboro, North Carolina, October 28th, 29th, we're providing lunch, and we're actually going to have a panel. I'm inviting a soil scientist, one of the farm credit representatives, a 1031 expert, and my timber guy, one of my timber guys. We're going to have an open forum discussing the future of those particular avenues. So that would be real interesting. And then, of course, at the NAR convention, pre-convention, we're teaching in San Diego. That's sponsored by the San Diego Association of Realtors. They're the course sponsor that we talked about earlier that hired us to come out there and teach for that class. So there's two good opportunities, and that's November the 10th and November the 11th at the Convention Center.
Perfect, perfect. All right, Lou, thank you so much for coming on today.
A tremendous
pleasure. And we had seven people listening in on the Internet as we were speaking, and so we hope that there'll be a lot of other folks that will be listening to this interview. So if you have any other thoughts or questions of either Lou or I, please be in contact. Lou, why don't you go ahead and give your email address out if someone wants to contact you by email.
Thank you, Russell. It's Lou, L-O-U, dot, or period, Dan, D-A-N, River, R-I-V-E-R, R-E, at G, the letter G, mail, M-A-I-L, dot com. So it's Lou, dot, Dan, River, R-E, at gmail.com.
Great. And you're in the city you're in North Carolina?
I'm in Mount Pilot. I'm just down from Mount Airy, home of Andy Griffin, RFD. We're the Mount Pilot on the Andy Griffin Show, population of about 1,200 people, and about 20 miles northeast of Winston-Salem. Our website, by the way, of our company is www.danriverrealestate.com, all run together. And you'll find a lot of information on there, too.
Okay. So you can find Lou in a number of ways. He just gave out the website and also his email. But if for some reason you've misplaced that information, you can go to rliland.com, type in Lou Jewell, J-E-W-E-L-L, and then his name will come up immediately, and then you can contact him that way as well. We'd encourage you to contact Lou, especially with these Land 101 classes. You need to be a part of this so that you can grow your abilities in how to evaluate land as well. So, Lou, thanks so much for joining me today. So I'll let you get back to showing your next piece of property, and hopefully you're going to make a lot of money before the year is up.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you for this privilege and this opportunity.
All right. Thank you for your time, Lou.
Yes, sir.
All right, it was great to have Lou online with me today, and Lou is part of that growing segment of land realtors around the country, and Lou is very, very passionate about land. He's grown up with land, but he's also very passionate about how to service people properly so that they can make an informed decision about that land parcel. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about predictions today. I asked Lou some of his predictions, and so I get to, since this is my show, I get to also chime in some of the predictions that I have. What I've been seeing is that I have learned, I commissioned a university study, and the question that I asked the study group to do this research project for me was what was the average age of a landowner in the United States in general. And so after they were able to find some data, and in that data that the average age of a of a landowner is 57. Now, so what does that mean? Well, that means that most landowners in today's economy are at or near retirement. And so what is happening to the typical retirement income in our economy? Well, of course, most fixed income retirement incomes has dropped, and for some, significantly. And so for the first time, many of these landowners, or some or many of these landowners, are going to consider what? Selling their piece of land for the first time. And what I do is I convince owners that it's time to sell their land, but also to sell it below market value. And so I help it so that I can bring some buyers in so that they can find a great deal for their property. Lou and I didn't talk about this, but there's a lot of listings on the local MLS, but a lot of those properties are actually overpriced in today's dollar. People are reflecting on yesterday's dollar when it comes to valuing their piece of land. And that's why a land realtor is so critical in evaluating the value of land today. Excuse me. And so because the need for a land realtor is so critical in this process, as I've talked about, and so these sellers are willing to a lot of these sellers are now coming to the table for the first time in their lives, thinking about selling that piece of land, but I'm going to help them to convince them that they need to sell that at an affordable price. Because if they can put it on the market at an affordable price, I can find a buyer for that. But see, on the other side, I think that there's going to be an amazing convergence. If the professionals, more and more of the economic professionals, are starting to say that we need to put money, portions of our portfolio, in quote-unquote a hard asset. And so what is a hard asset? Well, asset. Well, you know, usually what we focus in on is something like gold or something that is kind of more of a non-traditional investment. And more folks are going to consider land as an option to invest in. Now I'm in Florida. I'm in North Florida. And I cut my teeth working at a land brokerage in North Florida, and I am an investor. I'm not a realtor, but I have been a part of 600 land transactions, and virtually all of them were done through the use of a land realtor. So I've made my bread and butter through always working through a land realtor. And so people don't realize, but in the stock market was flat for most of 2003 and most of 2004. And this is my case study to kind of prove my point that I believe land will become more and more vogue as an option to invest in, and starting now and in the next few years. In fact, I'm predicting one of the greatest land rushes that we'll ever experience across the country. And why am I predicting that? Well, in 2003 and 2004, the stock market was flat. Well, interestingly enough, about mid-2004, the Miami Herald started to predict where people should put their money since the stock market returns have been flat. And when the stock market returns were flat, people are thinking of other options outside the traditional boundaries. And the real estate office in tiny Williston, Florida, where I worked, it was a population of where Lou lives, I think it was 2,000 people, all of a sudden they started getting inquiries about people wanting to buy land for investment. And so the office at its peak, when I was asked to come on board as an office manager, at its peak, we were getting a new phone caller every 15 minutes who wanted to buy a piece of land. We were overwhelmed with the demand. In fact, if we got 10 parcels of land in for our inventory, they were sold within hours of getting them into our office. And so, of course, that trend waned after a while and then fell by the wayside. But the point is that more and more people are going to start to look as they grow more and more uncomfortable with their stock market returns and stock market trends. And especially now that professionals are predicting that they need to look outside the stock market to continue to grow their investment income, that land will continue to be more and more on people's radar screens, because land is the simplest and easiest form of real estate to work with compared with any other forms of real estate. I mean, I work on land deals, and it's always an as-is state. Of course, it needs to be properly evaluated, that parcel of land, whether, like Lou said, if there's any, you know, hidden problems like cemeteries or maybe an underground gas barrel of some sort that's leaking. But typically, your average piece of land will not have those sorts of complications to it. So it's a very simple and easy transaction. And I read a Tulsa World article, this has been over a year ago, where the land realtor there specializes in finding agricultural pieces of land or farmland, and that he had 300 qualified buyers ready to buy farmland. And the interesting dynamic about farmland is, and a lot of people don't know this, is that, you know, in the old days, you had to move to that piece of land to farm it. Now what most farmers do, because it's so expensive to own combines and all the equipment needed to farm land, is they're actually leasing their land out to someone actually who's going to plant and farm it and harvest it. And so more and more investors, seeing that the price of farmland, the price of farmland continues to grow, continues to go up to 5 to 10% a year, and that's because of supply and demand. There really is not enough pieces of farmland to satisfy the needs, wants, and desires of investors today, because investors are looking at land, the actual land value is going up, but then they have an income, they have a yearly income that they can have off that piece of land by leasing that land to a professional farming company that actually does the farming on that land. And so a lot of people now want to buy farmland sight unseen. In different, they might live in Ohio, but they might want to live. They might want to buy farmland in Oklahoma. Well, they'll never go and visit that farmland, because all they're going to do is they're going to have someone professionally farm that for them, and they're going to make a lot of money doing that. And so there's going to continue to be trends in that regards, and there's going to be continued trends for people buying land across the country. And so this is exciting for us, for me as a land investor, but also for Lou Jewell, who lives in North Carolina. He's still seeing a lot of activity. He's got close to 100 land listings, and so there's going to be a portion of those that are going to be really sweet deals. And you go to someone like Lou, you've got $100,000, and you say, Lou, I've got $100,000, and I want to make a solid land investment. He's going to help you find that piece of land that's going to fit your investment criteria. And what I've learned is there's a portion of investors that it doesn't matter what the size or acreage size of the parcel of land is. They have $100,000 or $50,000 or $300,000, and they want to buy a $100,000 piece of land or a $300,000 piece of land. It doesn't matter what size it is. It's based on their needs as an investor. And so we're seeing more of a trend of in that regards. So I'm seeing some very good responses, and the land will continue to grow in demand in the next few years. In fact, I'm predicting in the next few years that there's going to be a land rush. There's going to be a rush to land that we've really never experienced before across the United States. So I offer a program called Vacant Land Guide. And what I do in this program is I help someone to become an independent and successful land investor. That the program is to help you understand how you can develop your competitive edge as a real estate investor. because there's so many people who want to become real estate investors, but they think solely in terms of commercial or residential properties. Now is the time to be involved in land. And Lou gave you one perspective that I'll reiterate. There's about 1.1 million realtors across the United States, but there's only about 1,400 registered land realtors. Do you know that there's 3,000 counties in the United States? There's not even one land realtor to service each county. So not only do we need more land realtors, we actually need more land investors that know how to properly evaluate values and properties, and so that they can these new land investors can become a part of this land rush that I'm predicting. Now, keep in mind that I have not grown up as Lou in the land community as he has. And so I come from a different perspective where my early career, I was a minister, and then I owned a Christian bookstore after that. But I saw an opportunity to be in real estate. And after being in land for just the last 5 years, I've been able to be a part of 600 land deals, totaling over $9 million, 600 deals. And why was I able to be a part of so many deals? Well, I hardly had any competitors. I currently live in Jacksonville, Florida, and guess how many land investors there are in my area? Well, there's like three. You know, guess how many investors there are that are pursuing the housing market? Well, there's hundreds, if not thousands. And so, you know, there's opportunity there to be a part of something that no one else is doing, and there's just simply there will not be enough land investors to meet the current and upcoming demands for land. So this is a time for you to get in on the ground and hit the ground running with my vacant land guide. So please visit my website at www.vacantlandguide.com. Again, that's www.vacantlandguide.com. And that gives you all the details about my land program and the price point and so forth. I invite you to email me with any questions, or there's an 800 number on the website if you have any questions that you'd like to follow up with. I'd love to hear from you. Lou would love to hear from you. So whether you're a land investor, or land realtor, or someone who wants to be a future land owner, I invite you to come in contact with me. So thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate your time listening in today. And so please continue to come back to either my website to hear the latest blog talk radio broadcast, or you can go to www.landthink.com. That's a great site for networking, articles, and information about land that you'll find nowhere else on the Internet. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening today. Have a great day.